Our universe is incredible, surrounded by mystery and beauty, and many of us have questions about our past, present, and future. October Hallam is an intuitive medium with over 20 years of experience. She has assisted people with discovering their path by understanding their past and connected the living to their loved ones who have made the transition. She is currently offering readings through Skype, Zoom, FaceTime, phone, and in person. You can reach her at theancientgift222@gmail.com. Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Ross Benn. Before I bring him on, a couple of announcements. March 11th, 12th, and 13th, we got Forbidden Knowledge News Con. You better be there. We're going to have 8 badass presenters. It's going to be online with a Rockfin premium membership. That means the entire conference is only $10. All you have to do is sign up through that link in the description. You're going to get access to the conference, all our premium content, all the content from every creator on Rockfin, and all the other conferences we've done. And you can always get regular episodes free on Rockfin as well. You get those also on Odyssey and, of course, all podcast platforms. We are on YouTube, but limited content. Also, check out the podcast that we're featuring on our website, the Forbidden Knowledge Network. That is forbiddenknowledge.news or the link in the description. We feature some amazing podcasts on there. We've got a new one coming out soon, The Ancient Gift. And also, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Guys, some of us just want to get through our day without having to wear a face diaper to go to the store, to go to the airport, or even go to work. Check out Fake Mask. Fake Mask has the most breathable and authentic-looking masks on the market. They are sure to get you into stores, on airplanes, or into work. Just click the link in the description, and you can get 10% off your order. Today, I want to welcome back to the show Ross Benn. He is a scribe, astrologer, presenter, and self-published author of several books, including Rocks of Ages, Great Mystery Philadelphia, An Urban Act of Magic, Free Your Mound and Your Mind Will Follow, and 5G Wellness 101. Ross Benn, welcome back. How are you?
Thankful. How about yourself, man?
Man, I'm great. And it's been a long time. It's been way too long since we spoke. But it is great to have you back on. Tonight, I thought we could talk a little astrology. And I want to get your insights into really the importance of following the stars. Our ancients did it. And we seem to have lost the understanding of how profoundly it works. And I've also been fascinated with how profoundly astrology can show us the connections through time and space to every event, not only in our lives, but as a way to decode reality by means of the sky clock, really. Now, since it has been a while since you've been on, for the audience that may not be familiar with you, could you let us know how you got started down your path and what got you into these studies and astrology?
Well, I was fortunate when I moved to Philadelphia. There was an astrologer here in the city by the name of Kofi Burgee, and he had a place like an astrology store, bookstore, where he would give readings right on Broad Street. Kofi's astrology, many people that may have traveled Broad Street of Philadelphia have passed his business many times. He's an ancestor now. But when I moved to Philadelphia, he was an elder who had healed himself. He was a Vietnam veteran. And he had healed himself through the study of astrology. You know, I guess like the trauma of the war and things. And he was a war hero, as a matter of fact. He received medals. He did some real, like, courageous acts in terms of, like, getting a platoon over a bridge safely, or, you know. He got a lot of recognition for his efforts in the Vietnam War, but it traumatized him. So through the study of astrology, he healed himself and felt that, wow, my community really needs this. So he made that part of his mission to offer astrological services and astrological teachings to the community. And yeah, I was just fortunate enough that we developed a good personal relationship. He took me on as, you know, a consistent mentor and developed my astrological skills. This was before astrological software was, you know, like, widely available. So he actually taught me how to calculate astrological charts. And I really do think that's important, you know, to understand the mathematics of it, to really be able to visualize what's going on in the heavens as it relates to Earth when you're taking that picture of the sky. And yeah, that's my foundation in it.
Right on, man.
When he became an ancestor, I was also fortunate that his widow felt that out of all of his students, I was most deserving to receive his clientele. So from that point, she passed a lot of his clientele my way. And that was like a great school, you know, like, to someone who had been receiving readings from a master astrologer for however long. Now I'm having to, you know, step in and do that as well. It was a great learning experience.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And for the longest time, you know, even when I was growing up, I remember astrology being painted as this kind of woo-woo stuff that, maybe, you know, you have to call into this hotline to get your astrology reading. And all, you know, they painted it as something that is something, you know, that is they mystified in a way that people didn't take seriously. But if you look at elites and people in high positions and our ancient ancestors, they all used astrology to time their every event that they would do, to plan ahead. They used it for almost any type of forecasting or planning, right?
Well, one of the seven hermetic laws is as above, so below, law of correspondence. And we know, like, if we take one cell of our body, right, and put it under a microscope, the nature of that cell, the health of that cell, could tell us a lot about the health and vitality of our entire body, right? The same way if we take a macroscopic look, look at the heavens, take a picture of the heavens at the time we take that first breath, there's three activators of our DNA, mom, dad, and the time of that first breath. So how is that first breath imprinting our DNA? That's what the picture of the heavens shows us as far as a natal chart, you know? But like you said, cities are born by usually a predetermined astrological alignment. Activities are started or finished in alignment. You know, that's called electional or mundane astrology, you know? Yeah, that is an ancient tradition, because just like when, if we're born at a certain time, we have a certain nature and character and carry a certain energy with us, right? Let's say I want the city that I'm designing to have a certain energy. I want it to be a commercial success. I might birth it in Taurus. Let's say I want it to be a very socially coherent municipality, right? I might do something in Aquarius. If I want the people to be very nationalistic or very emotionally charged and connected to my city, right? I might birth it in Cancer. So definitely astrology is used for those reasons.
I kind of look at the universe like this massive circuit board, and everything has its connections in some way. How do you think this is dictating some of these events? Not really dictating, but I know that the sky clock is always constant. Everything is always moving at the same speed, and you can always time things very precisely by the movements of the stars and the planets. What do you think is the connection between these celestial bodies and the energies that we experience here on Earth, and how they can basically be used to predict where we're going in a certain manner in the future and where we've been in the past?
Well, it comes from what you say, studying, you know, the science of astrology is an accumulation of tens of thousands of years of observation, you know, and building upon previous knowledge, astrologers are able to make correspondence. Like, okay, when Saturn is near this constellation, we've observed this phenomena here on Earth. And one's doing that for tens of thousands of years. Really going, I would say the first book of astrology is the Book of Enoch. And the Book of Enoch is at least 6,000 years old, right? Some say it was written around 4,200 BCE, before our current era. So, you know, that's what it is. And you're right, it has been maligned. It's been kind of given a superstitious label and discredited. But in more ancient time, astrology was an overarching study. in which geology, astronomy, psychology, many of the other ologies and studies that, you know, are kind of divided and void of like cross-disciplinary building, you know, like working cross-discipline.
Yeah.
Astrology was the overarching science that allowed for interdisciplinary research.
Do you think it was intentionally kind of pushed out into the public consciousness that way to kind of become woo-woo science, because these elites know how powerful it is and they basically want to keep this knowledge and power for themselves? It seems like they do that with, you know, a lot of profound truths about not only the nature of reality, astrology, our history, everything. I mean, you can look at anything that has, it's kind of been twisted and warped, so we have a perception of it that's completely different than reality, and we can't harness the power of some of these hidden truths, right?
Yeah, well, it is said that on the ancient temples, right, it would be written on the entrance, "Know thyself." Okay, so there's power in knowing about yourself. And that is one of the biggest gifts of astrology. It allows you to study your external reality, because astrology, yeah, you are studying the stars, but a big part of it is learning mundane rulership. What are the relationship between things on Earth? And what do they correspond to in the, we say, archetype design of creation? Okay, that's really what the study of astrology will impart on you. That plus knowing yourself, knowing who you are. And so there's power in that. There is empowerment in knowing yourself, knowing mundane rulership and correspondences. Yeah, it's like, you know how in The Matrix, if you knew, you had to know the laws to be able to bend them. It's the same here. You have to know the correspondences. You have to know the rulership and able to manipulate this reality into your favor.
It's very interesting as well how astrology is encoded into ancient texts like the Bible, and it's not really acknowledged by any mainstream academia, right?
That's right. Absolutely. The Bible is an astrotheological scripture with astrological symbolism embedded in a lot of the characters and stories and action of the Bible, yes.
Now, when you looked back at 2020, or looking forward at 2020, back maybe say 2019, when looking through the lens of astrology, did you personally see anything that would indicate the major directions that we were headed?
Definitely. And you could review my Rospin 188 web YouTube channel. I do have my 2020 vision, my 2020 forecast still there. So you could see in November of 2019, I was able to vision a lot of what we experienced in 2020, particularly what I call the global resource reset, you know, of January 2020. And the big astrological signatures that, you know, foretold that was the Pluto, Jupiter, Saturn conjunctions in Capricorn. And yeah.
Well, what's the importance of these conjunctions, like the one you just mentioned? What would be some of the maybe fallout or effects of this?
Well, Jupiter and Saturn are the rulers of space-time. They conjunct every 20 years and more or less define a, I guess what we would call like a generation or, you know, like a theme of a decade, right? Pluto is one of the slowest moving planets there is. And it's also the smallest planet. I know there's debate on, is it a planet or a planet or I don't know what, whatever they want to call it.
Right.
But Pluto does represent the principle of homeopathy on an astrological scale. Excuse me.
Yeah, no worries.
The principle of homeopathy on an astrological scale, meaning the smallest, subtlest things can have the most profound impact. Okay? So, you know, in homeopathy, you dilute homeopathy means like the poison, right? Or like the illness. So you dilute something that might trigger a pathological issue in the body to the point where it's practically not there, right? Is Pluto a planet? Is it not? You know. But when it's at that degree of dilution, the body is able to be informed about it, receive the information without having a reaction, you know? So it's the most subtle but profound. That's what Pluto represents on, you know, the scale of our solar system. So, and Capricorn rules government. Why we're seeing such drama and transformation of government and questioning and challenge, and to compound it, the United States, if you look at the astrological chart of the United States, the United States is having its Pluto return. As a matter of fact, I think the exact date is coming up this year, February 22nd, you know, but when you give a, what they call an arc of influence, meaning if a planet is 7 degrees within something, it is, you know, that conjunction or that return is in effect. So Pluto, Jupiter, Saturn, rulers of space and time, with one of aligning with one of the most profound, subtle planets in the sign of government, in the sign of the decision maker, in the sign of the corporate structure. Capricorn represents everything we have to do in our life, void of emotion. When you find yourself saying things like, I love you, but it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Somebody's got to be held accountable and responsible. Right? You're operating in that Capricorn realm. So there's no feeling or love or compassion when Capricorn's activated. And so we're seeing you know, Pluto is activating that thing. So we're seeing it kind of materialize, you know, this government overreach, government doing things that, you know, like, where's the compassion? Where's the love? Where's the concern for humanity? You're seeing it less and less in how government is playing itself out, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And with the profound and massive changes that have occurred over the past few years, we live in a completely different world. Did you think that, based on any of the things that you were seeing, or even, you know, after we started experiencing some of the measures based on the fallout of what was happening, did you think we would be where we were at in such a short amount of time?
No, I did not think I would see the dystopian future present in my lifetime. I worried it was something my children may have experienced, but I'm seeing things that, right, as a younger person in the 80s and 90s, when you would see films of a dystopian future, I thought that those things would be so far into the future that I could just enjoy it as fantasy, because it'd be nothing I wouldn't experience. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's here and now.
Do you think this is the reason this plan is moving so fastly is because it was planned based on the stars, based on astrology, and they have to kind of adhere to certain actions at specific times, possibly?
Now, I do think, now that I'm here and looking at this Pluto through Capricorn, like what I was just talking about, like, wow. And to be honest, we have a lot of shadows to work out in not a lot of time, because Pluto moved into Capricorn about the same time Obama took office. Okay. And I think it'll leave Capricorn in 2024. But Aquarius is all about the Now, we said Capricorn is the authority. It's the man in charge. Maybe not the Leo out front leader that everyone sees, but the corporate decision maker, the man in the three-piece suit who pushes the button or signs the document that decides the fate of, you know, millions, right? That's the Capricorn leader. When Pluto moves into Aquarius, which is the next sign, Aquarius is all about impersonal controls. So it's not going to be one corporate man. It's just going to be a social structure, a social construct that might be playing out the domination and you know, the shadows that we see now is going to shift and just be a social construct. And so when I look at what's happening now with the blockchain and the potentials of social domination that come with that, you won't really need a leader telling you to do this or that. You know, you misbehave, they could just cut your money off. They can just limit your access to food and your access to housing. So when Pluto gets into Aquarius, if we have not done the shadow work we need An example being like maybe finding an off-grid, self-sustainable, direct to nature, direct to resource lifestyle, where we don't need a cell phone, we don't need a supermarket. Yeah, we might be in a reality we regret.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are regretting a lot of decisions that they've made for themselves and went, you know, from the fallout of all this stuff. One of the massive outcomes that we're seeing right now is a complete collapse of the American empire. Now I know that every country has a birth chart as well that can be linked to the stars. Did we see anything specifically about our country, about the United States, that would indicate a basically crumbling of our entire system?
Well, I mentioned one of the most significant, which is the Pluto return. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you, like the sun, like a solar return is your birthday. The sun takes 365 days for, the earth takes 365 days for orbit around the sun, right? That's what your birthday represents. Saturn takes about 30 years. Jupiter takes about 12 years. Venus, 11 months. Just using this as a frame of reference. Pluto is the slowest orbiting planet. It takes about 268 years, give or take, because Pluto has an elliptical orbit too. So it, you know, sometimes isn't consistent. Okay. But the United States is having its Pluto return right now. The United States was born with Pluto in Capricorn. I want to say 22 degrees, maybe 23 degrees. And that's where Pluto is right now. And so Pluto, we already mentioned it being the subtlest energy with the most impact. Pluto, you know, it's the ruler of Hades or Vulcan, you know, so it's this god of the underworld, god of hell. Pluto being like the volcano, brings heat and pressure wherever it goes, you know, and it's going to show your essential self. Everything that's not aligned with your essential self, which we could say is like truth, you know, that's going to be reflected back to you. Pluto also represents power. How have you used your power or misused your power? Pluto's going to reflect that back to you. So those are two big keywords for Pluto, truth and power. And we all have this image of ourselves, right? Like you know, this story we tell ourselves and this identification we take on, right? But then we also know that sometimes we can lie to ourselves. And the story we tell ourselves, the identity we take on, it's not consistent with our behavior and how we really like lived our life. You know what I mean? Pluto, when Pluto's activated, we usually have to deal with that. Pluto return, yeah, you really got to deal with that. So the United States wants to see itself as the champion of equal rights and justice and the policemen of the world, you know what I mean? Champion of freedom and democracy, but then how has it really behaved? Pluto is mirroring, you know, Pluto, The magnetic mirror of the Omniverse is really reflecting that back on the United States, you know, but during its Pluto return. So definitely have that. And without the U.S. chart right in front of me, I really couldn't identify other. I couldn't identify other activators, but I would definitely say the Pluto is the most obvious. The Pluto return.
Over the past few years, we've seen some major shifts in our technology and technological advances in the direction that we want to head, especially after the COVID thing, we're shifting more everything online. Everybody, you know, plug in and just stay there. Just stay online. Don't go outside. Just stay in your home. Plug yourself into the metaverse, which is coming out. And we're seeing this with education, with schools, with work, with everything. Did we have any indicators of this technological direction through astrology by any chance?
Excellent question. Now, the planetary ruler of technology is Uranus. Okay, Uranus rules forward thinking, futuristic thinking. It rules like technology, the actual use of tools to create an event. It rules electricity. And it also rules like instantaneous. So Uranus is traveling through Taurus right now. And Taurus is fixed Earth. Taurus rules, I guess, what you would say, our lifestyle, our way of living, our way of building a comfort ergonomic way of life. So Uranus is injecting technology, it's activating the technological instantaneous energy with like our lifestyle. So it's like we want it now. We won't be able to push a button and get it. And you got that going on. Plus, it was not too long ago that the planet, so Uranus as a planet rules Aquarius. And Aquarius is like societal living. If Taurus is how do we have our home, Aquarius is how is the social order. And Aquarius did receive a lot of planetary activation. Recently, you had Neptune. I think Neptune was in Aquarius in the 90s, when 90s is a pivotal year because Windows 95, you really have to look at as the advent of the personal computer. Not so much the hardware, but it was Windows 95 that opened the door for computer lifestyle, computer access as a way of life, you know? And I want to say Neptune was in Aquarius at that point. And more recent, I told you we had the Jupiter-Saturn great conjunction occurred at that 0 degree of Aquarius. And that was in December of 2021. So I think that is an initiator of, being more engrossed in a technological reality, socially, you know?
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. we're also seeing a kind of shift in consciousness into different directions. We're seeing a mass awakening on some level. We're seeing people having an evolution of their consciousness, people realizing things, their eyes are opening. Some people who haven't been online in forever are just popping on and realizing what is the nature of reality, what's going on. They're questioning things. But on the other hand, we have this huge portion of people that are falling back and going in the other direction and getting sucked into this metaverse. And the more physical and material aspects of our reality, which is by design. Did we see anything in the stars that could have indicated this shift in our collective on the planet?
I think Neptune in Pisces might be associated with this awakening, you know, so the Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto are all what they call transpersonal planets, slow moving. You know, takes Uranus about 7 years to move through a sign. Takes Neptune about 14, Pluto anywhere from 16 to 18. And when these planets go through a sign, it tends to impact, like, you know, what's going on that decade or what's going on in the masses. You know, they're not impacting individuals directly as much as what is the collective experiencing, right? So this idea of the woke culture and woke, like people waking up. I think the Neptune in Pisces has a lot to do in that, to do with that. Kind of getting plugged in. Pisces is about getting plugged in, tapped in. Having the vision. So I think that's the big astrological activator. And right now, Neptune and Jupiter are in Pisces. That's the big hallmark of the year we're in, 2022. So I wouldn't be surprised if this year, and I feel like we're already seeing it, like, it seems to me harder now than ever for the mass media spell to be working.
Yes.
I'm hearing it more and more, like, you know, this spin of the coroner plandemic, you know?
Yeah.
How they're rolling it out. It's like the narrative is falling apart. It's disintegrating.
Yes.
And people... And part of it was a very poor rollout. They did have to make you ignore common sense, probably a little too much, you know?
Yeah.
But even with that, it's just people are not just accepting the given narrative. There's a lot more questioning and awareness. So give thanks.
For sure. Yeah. And I think right now is a great time for preparation. Preparation for the unknown, because, you know, we don't know what's happening, but we can get maybe an idea of what kind of energies we may be coming into in the future based on astrology, right? And I'd like to maybe take this time to take a look at that and see possibly what we have upcoming for us, so people can prepare for it, because, you know, there's a lot going on. I mean, we got the supply chain shortages. That's one thing to prepare for. Get yourself food, water, supplies. And I think we need to get spiritually prepared. We need to, you know, armor up in that fashion too. There's a lot of things that we should be getting ready for, but let's take a look and see what we could look forward to or not.
Right. So more so, you know, one thing I've learned with astrology is best to be as precise with keyword usage as possible. So as opposed to say unknown, I'd prefer to say unexpected, plan for unexpected. And when you say unexpected, that's Uranus. So here we are back in Uranus and Taurus. And we said Taurus is fixed earth. It's how we connect to the resources that allow us to live, you know, food, clothing, and shelter, resources that we have in our home and the lifestyle that goes with it. That's Taurus. And Uranus brings sudden change, unexpected events, you know, and that's important. We need that in our life. Like, imagine if we knew what to expect all day, every day, how boring, you know, there would be no reason to live, right? So we have to have some random. We have to have some unexpected in our reality, okay? But again, wherever Uranus is activating, there's going to be more of that. So there, we're in the season where resource disruption, unexpected dynamics with our access to resources, you know? I think in the long term, it's going to be the Uranus through Taurus transit may have a positive impact in showing us the silliness of quote unquote globalism and global economy, tying resources for daily living to international trade to such an extreme, you know?
Yeah.
Because you create, that's creating the stage for disruptions and Uranus to really be activated. So that's why this whole quote unquote supply chain issue is being active right now. And Uranus is going to be in Taurus for, I want to say, another year or two at least. When Uranus moves into Gemini, wow. Travel and mercantile commerce, right? All these things are ruled by Gemini and Mercury. Yeah, that might really become, you know, quote unquote, supply chain really become an issue. But also when Uranus moves into Gemini, mental health. There might be a severe crisis in mental health and just a breakdown of cognitive, logical discernment. And it might be technologically induced, okay? Because of, like we mentioned, Uranus rules technology. So we definitely want to fortify our nervous system to prepare for the Uranus ingress into Gemini, okay? That's making sure we have an abundance of magnesium, phosphorus, and lithium built into our nervous system, okay? And there are natural safe sources for lithium. I'm not prescribing. I'm just mentioning the elements that our nervous system needs to be healthy and us be grounded in our real reality, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Right on. Well, let's go into some general aspects of what we could look forward to in the future, what we should be looking at, maybe what we should be cautious of, and how we can prepare for everything, you know?
Well, I will just say 2022 is a year that we said we would get a glimpse of grace, that with the Jupiter, the two rulers of Pisces, Jupiter and Neptune are both in Pisces right now. This has only occurred twice in the 400-year dispensation, going back to 1619. Occurred once in 1690. I guess that was colonial U.S. Then occurred in 1856. Okay. So I think this is a very favorable astrological mark. If you want to catch an astrological wind that, you know, can fill your sails to your destination, you know, your vision, whatever whatever that might be, this is the year to catch it. And really, you want to catch it before Jupiter moves retrograde, which will be May. So from now to May, you want to get it in.
Yeah.
Okay. We have opportunity for a glimpse of grace. You know, synchronistic, mystical alignments that, you know, it'll seem like space-time is working with you in your efforts to make it happen, you know? This is a favorable year for that.
Sweet.
More so than, you know, like when Saturn moves into Pisces next year, which may, you know, Saturn is the opposite of Jupiter. Okay, they're polarities. Jupiter represents everything that comes to us, being a citizen of an abundant omniverse, walking in an orchard. Yeah, the abundance of the trees just fall at your feet and you can collect. Saturn represents everything that comes to us through our own toil, sweat, and tears, you know, our own effort. Okay. So while Jupiter's in Pisces and Neptune's in Pisces, and they'll conjunct in April. April is a power month, okay? April is kind of like a major portal, portal of portals, in my opinion, to manifest your visions, okay? Don't wait till August to try to do this, though, okay? Because when Jupiter's retrograde, it's like, you know, the wind. Imagine if Jupiter's blowing the wind. When Jupiter goes retrograde, it's like it's inhaling again, you know, to be able to blow in the future. So it's like a pause in that wind in your sail. Okay. That's right in the immediate. Long term, I told you we got Pluto transitioning into Aquarius in 2023, 2024. Whoa, as much of a lifestyle you can create that doesn't involve a cell phone or a computer, I think you'll be thankful. As much of a sustainable off-grid lifestyle that you have, I think you'll be thankful. Because, and I think to the degree that you have to depend on your cell phone, on your computer, is the inverse of that. You might have regrets. You know, the script will be flipped. How it seems like the cell phone is a convenient enhancer of life. It's going to feel more like a, you know, like a cell phone, prison cell phone, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that'll be the emotional impact that we'll have on us, okay? And let's see, Pisces, Neptune is going to be in Pisces for a little more time. I want to say at least 4 to 5 years. When Neptune moves into Aries, again, I think we will have to have worked out a lot of shadow. Humanity as a collective might be rise of megalomania, you know, as we say, heads of state, head of government, and that I could have appeal. You know, how sometimes society gets to a point where megalomaniacal leadership has an appeal. We're kind of seeing that to a degree. Some would say, you know, with the Trumpism, you know, but it might even become a bigger phenomena.
Yeah. And the feeling, the overall feeling over everything that I get is that we're in a crumbling system. It has to be destroyed. It has to fall for something new to come in its place because it's just not working anymore. It's not sustainable. And we can see it. We can see it being destroyed right before our eyes, this American empire and everything surrounded it. And it's not just America. It's globally. This system that right. we've been under is not working anymore, and it's crumbling right before our eyes. But the question is, what's going to rise up in its place? And, you know, I'm wondering, you know, maybe we can close on this. What do you think about that? Do you think we're going to be a phoenix rising from the ashes or replaced with something more dystopian, like a Chinese social credit system, you know?
Well, I tell you, whatever it becomes, these are pivotal years. Don't take yourself for granted, you know? I feel like everyone should be a small instrument playing their part in the orchestra of life to create the reality we want. And I think it starts with even talking about it, you know, like what we're doing. But this is just the beginning. It can't stop at this, you know? But we don't have much time to create the world we want. Definitely. You know, the great conjunction of 2020 at that 0 degrees of Aquarius has set the stage for us.
For sure.
And I will say, I will mention one other factor.
Yeah.
That we haven't talked about today, but we have talked about I think the last time you had me on as a guest, you talked about the star nations.
Yes.
If we could get ourselves together and not be such a, like, you know, destructive being, we might be invited into the galactic community and fall under their governance. And I think that would maybe, in my humble opinion, that might be one of our best solutions, you know, like one of the best alternatives. And I know there is differing opinions on that. But that's just my opinion. I have faith that there's goodness in the heavens.
Right on.
You know?
Yeah, and that's, I do too. I have this, you know, kind of gut feeling that whatever is out there, whatever is beyond what we know as our reality here on Earth, there's a portion of it that's got our backs, that's looking out for us. You know, there may have some of them that don't, but I think that there's a great lot of them, and like these star nations that you mentioned, that do, and they care a great deal of us, and they are us, and they're our ancestors, and they're part of us. You know,
exactly.
That gets into a whole different show. But yeah, I agree with you 100%. And we live in some very critical times, man. I think that like you said, it's going to be completely up to us the direction that we're headed as a nation, as a people, as a collective, as a planet, and hopefully maybe even, you know, as a galactic unity with the other star nations, like you said. That would be fantastic, man. And this was awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. Before you head out, let everyone know where they can find you, website, books, social media, all that good stuff.
My website is rossben.com, and my YouTube channel is rossben188. Okay, so that's really my web presence. I don't have a big one, you know. I will mention that I do have a new book out, I think, from the last time I shared with your community.
Yeah.
It's called Knowledge of the Nomo, The Dogon Decoded, where we look at Dogon cosmology and history, and do our best to, you know, bring clarity to who they are and what are their teachings about, you know?
That's excellent.
I got to get
awesome.
You a copy, and then maybe we can have a show on that.
For sure, man. Yeah, I'd love to do a show on that. That'd be excellent. And Rossben, man, thank you so much. That was excellent information. We will definitely be talking again soon.
All right. Peace and love.
Until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We'll talk again tomorrow.